You're listening to From Passion to Profit, a show about female entrepreneurs who have built their businesses from the ground up and turned their passion into profit. These episodes share their most inner working thoughts, their journey, triumphs, and challenges. Whether you're just starting out or looking to take your business to the next level, these women have valuable advice and insights to share. If you want to turn your passion into profit, this podcast is for you. Today's story covers an incredible Latina who has navigated the complex pathways of career, identity, and personal growth with a level of intention and passion that is really inspiring. Liz's journey is one of bold pivots, from being a licensed therapist to becoming a coach, specifically helping first-generation Latinas in therapy and counseling navigate the post-grad life. Burned out by the limitations of the traditional mental health system and challenged by the stresses exploding during the pandemic, Liz found herself reevaluating her path and ultimately deciding to take control of her destiny. My hope for you as you listen to this episode is that her story serves as a reminder that your dreams are not just valid, they're worth pursuing no matter the obstacles. So, what better way to start this episode than to ask the question, was entrepreneurship always in the cards? Is this everything you imagined it to be? Was it the North Star that you had growing up and looked up to?
That is such a good question because, to be honest, I always knew that I didn't want to work for somebody else. I like knew that in my heart, but my brain always told me, well, you have to be realistic. And my mom also told me, like, you can't get paid to talk to people. So I remember I was like 5 years old and I used to tell my mom, one day I'm going to get paid just to talk to people. I love talking to people and hearing their problems. I was five years old. And she was like, don't be crazy. You know, this is a daughter, you know, I'm a daughter of immigrants. So my mom was like, no, we have to work hard. That's how we earn. And like, she was trying to raise a very good daughter. So I always had it in me. I just didn't think I was capable of doing it. So, of course, as you go through the education system, you are very wired into like the employee mindset, career orientation. And I decided that, you know, I knew I wanted to help people. I just didn't know what capacity. And I went to school and I realized I loved just, again, I reiterated the fact that like I loved talking to people and helping people and hearing their problems and supporting them and holding space. So I ended up going to grad school for therapy work. And I have a master's degree in counseling psychology with an emphasis in Latino counseling for marriage family therapy. And through that career experience was that I realized that I never wanted to work for somebody else and that I needed to take control of my life and start something, even though I didn't even know what I was going to start. So I thought I would start with an online brand. And then I jumped on Instagram and started talking to people about random things. Yeah. And then here I am today.
Oh, okay. So many things to unpack there. So starting with when you became a therapist and then you realize, all right, I don't want to work for someone else, or it confirmed your desire to not want to work for anyone. Were you working under a different firm or you didn't have your own therapy practice at the time?
I didn't have my therapy practice at the time. So it was actually the year of the pandemic that this happened. Actually, I think it was in 2019. The pandemic still hadn't happened yet. But I do remember that, or was it? You know, I'm mixing my dates up. It wasn't the year of the pandemic. I was in graduate school and I remember the burnout that I was feeling. I remember during this time I had one of my maternal grandfather was in his deathbed and I had to choose between, you know, taking the week off of school and missing my midterms and taking the week off of work. Or going to go visit my grandpa and be with him in Mexico during his last days. But I was at risk of getting kicked out of my grad school program because it was a private school. They had a very strict rule on whether or not I could like miss one or two days of class. So long story short, I say, F this. I will talk to the dean. I will talk to whoever I needed to speak to, but I'm going to leave. I'm going to go because I could not forgive myself, right? So that moment never left me and it was always within me, right? I was in deep burnout with just the schoolwork. I was working full time as an academic advisor in higher education. And it was one thing after another that just continued to like disappoint me because I realized that here we were getting trained to be, you know, the people that hold space for others, but the system wasn't created to support us in, you know, replenishing ourselves. So through those experiences, I realized, you know, there has to be a better way. And it was the spring of 2020 when I realized, I was like, you know what, like, there has to be a better way. I decided to invest in some coaches that I had been following for a while to build my online brand. And that is how I decided to start with the idea. I didn't even know I was going to be a coach. I thought I was going to build my brand so that the day that I could, you know, I would graduate because my program was 3 years long. I thought that I was going to build my presence and that I was going to, you know, all these people were going to want to work with me by the time that I graduated for a private practice. And through that process, I realized, wait, I don't even think I want to do therapy work for the rest of my life. Because then I entered my internship year and it was during the pandemic and it was chaos. It was complete chaos and chronic stress. And the work was so heavy that I started realizing all of the different gaps that were in the therapy system. And ultimately, that's how I decided to start working on, again, developing my personal brand and offering coaching services.
That's such an interesting concept, or I guess even something to note, because that thought had never crossed my mind, Liz. You know, throughout 2020 or even 2021, it was the year of introspection, I guess that's what people called it, right? They wanted to go inwards. They really wanted to focus on themselves. They wanted to heal themselves, go through this wellness journey. And I never thought what that was like on the flip side of it for therapists until now having this conversation with you. Because I assume, yeah, that's like an overload, I guess, of carrying people through their journey in that year of introspection for people.
Absolutely. And you said it so perfectly. And I think the world was so consumed with their own process, right, of what they were figuring out internally, where it was really, like, really heavy work to see. You know, I was working at the time, I was working in community mental health as a marriage family therapist, working with kids from 4 years old to 22 years old, but supporting their families as well and doing a lot of collateral services. A lot of suicides were happening. You were fearing for your own life, your families with COVID happening. And then you were also supporting and holding space for other people. And then to realize you couldn't even take a week off, because if you did, then that meant, you know, you aren't going to be meeting productivity hours. You are not going to be doing, you know, all the administrative work that is required of a therapist. And there's so many things behind just, I thought I was going into therapy work to just talk to people and sit in a chair and listen to them. You know, I was like, that's going to be easy. But there's so much that is involved in any role within mental health. And I almost think of it like as mental health being almost like the adopted sibling of, you know, the healthcare system, right? Where like you see it over and over again, nurses and doctors, like, you know, having protests and things like that. And it makes sense why. I think we're living in a world where we need to be woken up, especially in that field, because the amount of like just chronic stress and impact it has on your nervous system is huge, especially for women of color working in the field.
Liz's professional journey from feeling destined not to work for someone else to becoming a therapist and eventually a coach is an interesting one. This evolution was sparked by personal experiences, a desire to help people, and realizing the limitations within the mental health system. It's clear Liz was proactive in exploring what was the right career choices for her. She wasn't complacent in where she was. That's an important insight for us to take from her story. That's such a crazy story and such a burden for someone to carry, let alone a woman of color who has to kind of deal with their own story and their own background. So when you got into, or when you were building your personal brand, the whole idea about that was to help grow your future therapy practice. What came first, implementing that online business aspect or pivoting to something other than growing your future therapy practice?
I always had an internal conflict between my identity as a therapist and my identity as a coach, quote unquote, right? Because I didn't even feel comfortable calling myself a coach. I had a lot of thoughts about that. And this goes into like titles and identity work, right? But what made me pivot was realizing that the people that I actually wanted to help weren't like adults or weren't like kids specifically, right? Because when you're in therapy, you have to decide, okay, who do you want to specialize in serving? Very similar to coaching, but in very limiting ways. So I realized that, hey, I actually want to work with first gen Latinas that are coming out of higher education and have no idea what they want to do with their lives. And this just happened to be during the pandemic. So many people were craving community. So many people.
Right.
And I decided, well, I'm just going to help a past version of myself. And this was a period in my life where I was very, very lost. And I attached a lot of shame to not going directly into grad school because I took a year off. So these are the people I want to help right now in this season. And it started with that, and it slowly started to evolve as I started working with clients. I realized that so many of them actually wanted to be coaches too, because so many of the people I was helping were actually people that were in the service profession. So they were counselors, they were social workers, they were in the mental health field. And without even knowing it then, I was already supporting therapists with business and entrepreneurship.
So what was it like when you signed your first coaching client? Or actually, before you answer that, I actually want to touch on the whole identity aspect, because I have some thoughts about that too. But one of the things that I always felt like, at least my colleagues in the industry, you as an example, who do have that coaching background through, or coaching like background, right? Through therapy, having kind of similar practices and parallel practices, I always felt like those were the people that I were more inclined to trust. And I felt like embodied those the coach identity really well, because it was just kind of an easy transition from therapy into coaching. So with that being said, how come it wasn't like that for you?
It wasn't an easy transition because I was still working on solidifying my identity as a therapist. I still didn't believe I was a good therapist because I was still in grad school. I had a lot of thoughts about whether or not I could support someone through a transformation because I needed the paper, right? Quote unquote, like I needed to have the official degree. I needed to walk the stage. I needed society to tell me I was ready. It was so much imposter syndrome. I was like, I don't even feel like a therapist. How am I going to be a coach? And Chelsea, if I told you the process, and we'll get to it, I'm sure, like the process of when because I didn't even start with one-on-one coaching. I started with a group. And I don't even know how I launched a group and people signed up. So it was a lot of identity work where I was rocky in one. So that is one of the main reasons why I didn't feel as confident in the other, versus the therapists that I support now. They've been in private practice for years. So for them, it's a lot more. And you'd be surprised. It's actually not that smooth of a transition, because as humans, we have a lot of thoughts about letting go of identities and creating new ones. So it seems from the outside looking in like it's so seamless, but internally, it's like this conflict.
That's so interesting. So yeah, I guess tying that into getting your first client, or in this case, clients with group program, what was that like? Did you just dive headfirst into selling and into signing people? Or was it this kind of long, drawn out process because you had to work through that identity crisis?
I did everything scared. I did everything scared. I love it. Sometimes I look back and I'm like, how did that version of me have the courage? But you know what? I attribute all of the success I've had, or like in the first year of my business, to not knowing anything. Like, I was so naive. They told me to do something. I did it and it worked. And I was like, good. Why? Because yeah. I didn't have the mind drama. I wasn't questioning everything they told me, right? So the process was, I didn't go straight in. I was a part of a mastermind at the time. I joined a mastermind to build my online presence. And the mastermind ended. That was like 4 months. And then that whole entire time, I was posting just informational content and just adding value to my community without making any offers, because I didn't even know I could sell. I thought you could only sell when you were launching, right? Now I know that that's not the case. So I actually posted for about 4 to 6 months without offering any services. And to me, it just felt so good to add value and to bring awareness and to speak about topics that I was passionate about speaking on. Because in a past world, really like a few years prior, I my whole dream was to start a blog. So for me, I didn't have any expectations of signing any clients, especially because I was also working at the time. And all I wanted was to just bring value. And I did that for about 4 to 6 months. And then I opened up my group for 2 weeks and I launched it. It was called Latinas Aligned, and I worked with first gen women wanting to live their lives authentically. I was a self-discovery coach in a sense. And 8 people signed up for my program. I was charging $400, and I thought that was $1 million at the time. I was like, who's going to want to pay me $400? And I'm very, very grateful. I will never forget that group of women that came together to support me. Some were peers of friends that I knew from college, but it was really like friends of friends of friends. So when they say some of your first clients will be people in your extended circle, it really is true. So that was my first group program. My first clients.
And this was end of 2020 or 2021?
September 2020.
Okay. Wow. I love that you did have that first initial season of just cultivating a presence and just being heads down and growing your audience and not having any expectation of selling or asking for money. I think if I had to do everything all over again, that's probably the one thing that I would change, in being more diligent and spending time to cultivate an audience with value, as opposed to, you know, maybe doing it one or two months and then selling right away. I think that's really great advice for a lot of people. So what happened after the group program?
I do want to add to that part, because it is important to note that I only had like 1,500 followers. I didn't have many followers. So for anybody listening, you don't have to have a large following to be able to make something like that possible. So really what happened after the group program was that I was terrified once 8 people paid me $400 each. I was like, what am I going to do? How am I going to coach them? Are they going to get results, right? It's like everything nobody tells you, right? It's like it sounds so pretty in an ideal world, but then you actually have to deliver the service and coach them. So I kid you not, I had a drafts of like my curriculum, my presentations, really, because I was teaching. I didn't know what I was doing. And it was very meaningful to their group till this day. They tell me I've changed their lives. And this is how you know you're always the hardest, your own worst critic, right? Because to me, I was like, I kid you not, every single time I was about to go and like present to them and have a call with them, I had like a legit almost like panic attack, because I was like, oh my God, I'm a fraud the whole entire time, right? But then I had to remember that I was holding space for them and I was helping them feel seen and heard and giving them tools to navigate whatever it was that they were navigating. And that was the biggest gift I could give them. Right. And that the $400 were really just an exchange of energy for the work that I was doing. So I realized how much I loved it. It was during the pandemic. So it was almost my escape from my reality. It was almost like I was living in this 9-to-5 world in this very limited box. But providing coaching services was allowing me to fly and spread my wings and be free and forget about the rest of the world for those 2 hours that I was coaching them like every 2 weeks. So I launched that group. I relaunched, like I was I was crazy. I launched one group. As soon as it ended, I relaunched the next one and relaunched the next one. So I launched like three times. I launched that group three times from September to December of 2020 because it was a 6-week program.
Oh, wow. That's
so I was just going back to back to back. I don't know what I was doing, but I was only booking more clients in the group. And it wasn't until the third group that I realized, wow, so many, like the need is actually in them wanting to become coaches. How can I support them through that? And that is when I created my current offer that I've had for now 2 years, Aligned Coaching, where it's evolved into now supporting therapists in integrating coaching into their offerings.
In the midst of the pandemic, Liz bravely carved out a space to support first-generation Latinas navigating postgraduate uncertainty, drawing from her own experiences of feeling lost and ashamed during her own journey. But what truly resonates is her vulnerability in admitting the imposter syndrome that plagued her. Despite doubts and panic attacks, she pushed forward, realizing that her worth wasn't defined by a piece of paper, but by the genuine connection and impact she made on her clients' lives.
Wow, that's amazing. 3 sold out back-to-back group launches when you first started selling your group launches. That's crazy. I think I'd love to ask how having that success then impacts the way that you launch now.
That's a great question. It felt a lot easier then than it does now, I will say, because now I have so much information, right? And so many, my being a high, like a recovering high achieving Latina, like I have such high expectations for myself and for my business that it's almost like a blessing and a curse to have the information that I have now. I think it's helped me in the way that I have, you know, built a lot of maturity for launching. Like I know when the mid lump, we call it the midweek or mid launch slump, right? Where you hear crickets and nothing's happening. Like now I've launched enough times to know that that's normal. There's nothing wrong with you. Don't attach it to your worth or to your abilities to be successful, right? So it's helped me a lot with the launching maturity side of things. And I do think it's a gift because every launch teaches you something differently. And I've learned to love myself so much deeper in every single launch.
Oh, I love that. Loving yourself deeper with every single launch. What does that look like?
It looks like holding space for big emotions that you've been suppressing for a long time. I know a story of my life has always been my worth, my self-worth, and also my enoughness and fear of rejection because I have an abandonment wound being that I am the eldest daughter and I grew up with a teen mom and I was raised by a teen mom and an incarcerated father. So no, like fearing that I would offer or I would put something out and nobody would care. Or somebody would say no to me was terrifying. And every single launch has only helped me heal those parts and those wounds. And every single person's wounds look different. This is why if you're someone who launches, don't ever compare yourself to other people who launch because your parts are so different than somebody else's, right? You might be working through the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, while somebody else is fearing, you know, maybe that they're introverts and they don't like taking up space or using their voice. And it could look very, very different. So for me, it's looked like really holding space for myself and loving myself despite of what I create.
That's so good. There's so many facets to a launch. That's not just strategy and materials and selling, signing clients. Like that is what you just described makes sense why launching can be so difficult. Because it's so much more than just selling. I love that. So at what point did you decide to pursue it full time and then leave your job?
So actually I launched 3 times. I launched Latinas Aligned 3 times. That was from September 2020 to December 2020. And then 2021, everything changed for me. Every single thing. I launched Aligned Coaching. It was a $25,000 launch. I didn't know what to do with myself. I also had COVID during that time and I was literally dying and it was not fun, but I don't know how I launched through that. And then yeah. I relaunched it and I saved the reserves because one day at that point, I was like, oh my God, I think I can quit my job with that first launch, right? But it still felt so far away. Like, Liz, you're dreaming. You haven't even been coaching for 6 months, right? And then I did the second launch in this in the second quarter, and it was another 24 or $20,000 launch. So by this point, I had probably made like $60,000 in my business that I had not touched because I just didn't even know what to do with so much money, because in my, you know, low income background mentality, I was like, what? I never dreamed of having the most I've ever had in my bank account is like $300, right? Because I was in college and, you know, putting myself through school. So then I realized, wow, I think I can leave my job. Those two launches made it possible. But I have so much mind drama over it because I was afraid of not having like stable income coming in. And it took me about like a few more months to actually make the decision to leave and like really cover my bases from every single angle, even though I had $60,000 in my reserves. For like, keep in mind at the time I was earning $30,000 a year. Wow. So I had 2 years worth of savings and I still didn't feel like I had the courage to go into my business full time. Wow. And it was through a lot of mentorship and through, quite frankly, I remember one of my coaches at the time asked me, okay, so then don't quit your job. Find all the reasons why not to quit. And I said, I actually got really mad at her. I was really pissed for like a week. I was like, how dare she tell me that? She's my coach. She should be telling me to like, you know, do it. And through her coaching, I realized, well, I couldn't find any reasons to stay. So I'm going to go. And that is how I made the decision to leave. And it was so liberating, terrifying, because of course you're like betting everything on yourself, right? But my nervous system needed it. My health needed it. I needed it. My soul needed it. I needed to go. I had been working for like 3 jobs since the day I could remember, and going to school full time since the day I could remember. And it was like this constant go, go, go mode all of the time. I did it not for my business. I did it for myself and for my own healing. So that is how I transitioned into full-time entrepreneurship.
Oh my gosh, I can resonate with so much of what you said, but I also have questions for the ways that I wish I could resonate. So one of them, where do I start? Let's start with your family. What were their thoughts on this transition and you pursuing a full-time job in coaching?
Well, when I decided to actually leave, my mom surprisingly was the most supportive. But I think the only reason why she was supportive is because I had been bringing in income for a whole year. Not even a year. It was probably 8 months when I decided to go into full-time entrepreneurship. And she did say, you know, well, how are your savings? Like I came to her with like, I didn't ask her for permission. I said, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm terrified, but I also know that I'll be able to create more money and more like possibilities for us and our family. And this is where I'm at. And I'm scared because I also, keep in mind, when I decided to quit, I also had just moved into a luxury apartment in the Silicon Valley that was charging me $2,500 a month for rent. And I decided to invest $10,000 with a coach at the same time. So in that, I don't know how I made all those 3 decisions like so quickly within the span of a week. But my mom she was worried about like, well, you just signed a lease. Are you going to be able to keep up with $2,500 a month without a job, right? Or without like that paycheck. So she was really supportive. I was dating someone at the time that wasn't so supportive of my social media presence. So that was difficult to navigate. But during the time of me leaving, he was very supportive. So having that support just having one person saying, hey, the worst that is going to happen is you just get a different job. That was really helpful. But everybody else didn't understand. Everybody else did not understand because we were still technically in a pandemic, right? So there was still a lot of uncertainty happening and they couldn't understand why are you going to go full time in this if you were graduating in your degree in your therapy background. So then what did you go to school for? So it was a lot of a lot of family not understanding, family thinking I was crazy. But I think what really helped me in that process was being so sure and confident in both of my identities. Now, the internal work I had done, now I knew nothing could stop me, because if I ever needed a job, I could go into therapy work, because I had I was a registered therapist in the state of California. And I also knew that, I have a whole curriculum, I have a whole resume, right? I can always go get a job. And I would always lean into the worst case scenario, because that's always what we fear the most. So when we actually take ourselves there, we realize, okay, if that were to happen, I'll be okay. I will survive the worst case scenario. But it was definitely a mental game of really choosing myself over and over again, choosing to have my back all over and all over again, and then to be the odd one out in the group, because none of my friends were entrepreneurs. I didn't have a support system of entrepreneurship besties like I do now at the time. So I mean, I can go into, right, like the lifestyle of what it's like to be an entrepreneur, a full-time entrepreneur, work for yourself, mm-hmm. and then have everybody else have regular jobs and do regular things. You can feel very odd. So that's essentially how they took it.
Liz reflects on the blessing and curse of having more information and expectations as a high-achieving Latina, a sentiment many ambitious individuals can relate to. What stands out is her candid discussion about the emotional roller coaster of launching, a journey that extends far beyond strategy and metrics. She speaks about the deeper layers of launching, from facing fears of rejection and failure to embracing vulnerability and self-love with each new endeavor. It's a powerful reminder that success isn't just about external achievements, but also about inner growth and healing. Wow.
I told myself, I'm going to just leave this in this account, and this is going to be what helps me leave. This is going to be what helps me leave one day. So I made the intention of this money needs to be saved, and almost unintentionally, but also because I also grew up with the mentality of save everything you have. I'm like on the other side of save everything you have when you have it for a rainy day. So my version of a rainy day was leaving my job. And that's essentially what drove some of my decisions around saving the money. And what I actually did with the rest of it was, it was a blessing in disguise, because after I quit my job, I announced that I was taking on private clients. I had never sold one-on-one before. And I had a couple of clients that signed up. I had maybe three that paid in full, and I was charging $6,000 at the time. But I do remember that then I had a dry spell of clients, and I was spinning out. I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And I launched my group program, and I heard crickets. Nobody signed up. The same day that I actually launched, I get diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. And my world just fell apart, because I was like, what the heck? I'm coming from all of this, all these highs, right? And what is happening? Did I make the wrong choice? What did I do? But really, it was my body telling me, stop launching back to back. I was working probably 12 to 16 hour days when I first got into entrepreneurship. Oh, wow. Because I was with all the ideas of right, do more content, do more this, do more that, mm-hmm. Maybe you could do this, and doing all of the things that I'm manifesting generator. So for those that don't know, we really don't know how to rest. We can be doing all of the things. And my body mm-hmm. was just telling me I needed to chill. So really that reserve, what it allowed me to do was to attend to my own needs, to my health, to myself. And this is why I say, right, entrepreneurship literally saved my life and changed my life and saved my life. Because in no job would I have been able to take 3 months off with pay at all, right? Yeah. And my business provided me with that. So it supported me through the dry spells of business, through the lowest of the lowest, the biggest fears you could possibly have as an entrepreneur.
Mm. Oh, I love that you shared that. Thanks so much for going deep into that, because I think that's really important. So another prominent and pivotal moment in your business was you moving So after you went through all of these highs and the lows, you decided to move to Mexico City, a different country outside the States. What made you want to do that?
That is such a good question. So it was a childhood dream to live in Mexico City, because a lot of the soap operas, a lot of the just TV shows I actually grew up watching with the only quality time I ever got with like my abuelitas and my grandparents and my mom were watching TV, and all of the people, like they come in, it's almost like the Hollywood of California and the US, right? And I always wanted to live here, but I never thought it could be possible for me because we have jobs, because we work, because the reality is that we can be Mexican, but we live in the States and we're divided in these two worlds. And it had always been a dream. I had always talked about it and I had visited like two or three times prior to actually deciding to move. I was in a long-term relationship during that time. So that held me back, right? Because I remember thinking, well, he doesn't really like Mexico. He's never going to want to go. And I never saw it possible. But then we ended that relationship. We ended that relationship. That was a 5-year relationship. I was in a narcissistic relationship. So that was another huge low that my reserve supported me through. And I decided, you know what? I don't have anything holding me anymore. I don't have anything to hold me back here. I'm going to move. I'm going to go. And ironically enough, a month prior to me deciding to move, no, 2 months prior to me deciding to move, I had came to Mexico City on a business trip with Mariela and Erica, which are two entrepreneurship friends that we both have. And I could see myself here. It was almost like my soul was happy and alive and like free. And I met somebody. And I met somebody who I now call the love of my life. And it was like my life took a complete 180. Shout out to Erica, who, you know, she moved her magic and it just all happened. We met because of her, really. But it was a lot of moving pieces at once. And I was in my Saturn return. So everything just changed. And I decided, you know, it's now or it's never. And I'm never going to regret moving. And something that really helped me, because I also have a thing with like feeling like I'm trapped. So something that helped me was telling myself, I'm just going to go for 3 months and see how I like it. It's just like studying abroad. I already studied abroad. I went to Thailand in college. So I'm going to do this again. And I owe it to myself and I owe it to like my inner child to heal and to go after my American dream, my Mexican American dream, to come and, you know, really reclaim all the things that my parents had to give up for me to have a better life and that they didn't get to like really live in their home country. So I decided to move. I left my apartment. My lease had just ended. I was month to month. I decided to put everything in storage and book a one-way flight and come live in Mexico City. And we're about to celebrate a whole year of me living here.
We journey through Liz's transformative experiences, from financial management to personal empowerment, culminating in her bold decision to relocate to Mexico City, a dream long deferred but finally realized. Liz's candid discussion about her relationship with money is relatable, shedding light on the nuances of financial habits shaped by childhood experiences and cultural influences. Despite societal stereotypes, she challenges the narrative of being bad with money, recognizing her ability to save and strategize for the future, a testament to her resilience and resourcefulness. What we realize is entrepreneurship isn't just about financial success, but also about prioritizing self-care and well-being.
It's so beautiful, and it really is like you're coming home to self. I just got my dual citizenship. It was a whole process, and I now finally feel like I'm no longer split into two worlds. Just from a symbolic place, but it was interesting. It was an interesting transition for me as a business owner, because there was a part of me that felt like I couldn't bring this like nomadic side of me to my business because it wasn't part of my brand, right? I was in California, Bay Area coach, and that was all I did. And then I realized, hey, so many other people are like, your business evolves through the seasons that you're in. So why not bring it as a part of me? And it's part of my identity and it's part of who I am. So it actually blew up my business. It blew it up in the way that I made the most money that I've ever made. A lot of my brand is lifestyle and healing burnout and also going after the 9-to-5 optional life. This doesn't mean that I'm telling everyone quit your job. This just means like, hey, you have options. Take control of your life if you don't like the circumstances that you're living in. And I can help you create that. So through this process, everything just blew up. My brand just blew up. And I started a podcast as well. And it was actually born in Mexico City, because here I published it, or like it went live when I was here. I recorded every single episode. So that was very special. And it just overall, it helped the fact that I was whole. I felt whole and I felt like I was at home and I exuded that energy and I exuded possibility for my community. It just changed everything in my business for the better.
So good. I love that. So what does it look like now for your business? Where are you at? Where are you wanting to go?
That is a great question. I'm currently scaling my business, which as a first gen daughter of immigrant Latina coming from a farm working small little town that, you know, English is her second language. It is absolutely just, it's a miracle. Sometimes it feels like a miracle that like I've been able to create what I've created in just under 3 years in my business. And we're at the point of scaling my current group line coaching, so bringing in a whole lot more support, hiring. I'm like, I have employees. You know, it's wild to me, but yeah. we are working on our goal of 500k this year, which is amazing. And we've had one of our biggest quarters to date, so I'm envisioning being a part-time CEO so that I can continue to travel and replenish and live, you know, what I practice, which is you can be a part-time CEO and you don't have to feel bad for it and you don't have to feel like you're selfish for it or like you're taking advantage of people. If anything, I'm bringing in more support for my clients and expanding my capacity to serve more people on a larger scale. So that is where the business is headed.
I love that. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
In this episode, we witness the culmination of Liz's journey, a transformative process of self-discovery, empowerment, and business growth. Through her relocation to Mexico City, she finds a sense of wholeness and authenticity, which profoundly impacts both her personal and professional life. Here are three of the lessons I think we should take away. 1, resilience and resourcefulness. Liz's journey underscores the importance of resilience and resourcefulness in navigating challenges and setbacks, both in business and personal life. 2, self-care and well-being. Amidst the demands of entrepreneurship, Liz prioritizes self-care and well-being, recognizing the importance of listening to one's body and honoring personal needs. 3, courage and self-belief. Through bold decisions and unwavering self-belief, Liz overcomes fears and uncertainties, paving the way for personal and professional transformation. I want to thank Liz again for joining me today. I hope you've been inspired by her story. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. We couldn't have done it without the hard work and dedication of our amazing team. A special thanks to Kimberly and Brandon for their incredible scripting and quality checking skills, Andrew for his exceptional audio design, and Addie for our outstanding graphics and marketing support. And of course, a huge thanks to our guests for sharing their passion and story with us today. Be sure to check out the show notes for an exclusive blog interview with our guest, as well as links to support them and their business. And don't forget to leave a review and share this podcast on your social media stories. We appreciate your support and can't wait to bring you more great content in the future. Thanks again for listening.